سلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب، فإن الدار الآخرة خير للذين يتقون أفلا تعقلون. صدق الله، صدق الله العظيم. Today, as I was going through the aisles of the hospital, and subhanAllah, I saw so many different people with so many different conditions. Some people on wheelchair, some people they're laying down in bed and they can't move, some people they can't talk, some people they can't walk, some people they can't eat. In particular, there was one person, he could not move at all. And it was just reminding me of these ayahs which I recited, and there are many ayahs similar to the ayah which I recited. That wa min hayati dunya illa lahu wa lak. But what is dunya all about? Dunya is just a temporary place. A place that we're stationed here for some time and all of us have to go. No one is here permanently. No one is here to stay. When I was looking at those people, subhanAllah, you know, I thought to myself that there was a time when these people, they used to also walk like us. They used to also talk like us. They used to also, you know, do everything that we do in this world. They had all that energy. They had all that, you know, the capacity and the mentality of doing things. They had that pride when they used to walk in this earth. They used to feel that they were something. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them like nothing now. And this is the cycle of life. When a child is born, it needs someone to aid, guide, help. As the hadith says, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not even place teeth inside a child's mouth. وَلَا يَكَ يَدٌ تَبْتُشْ. There is no works in the hands. You know, there's no energy in the hands so it can function. Similarly, the feet, they can't walk. A person can talk. And as it grows older and older and older, and it gets understanding, and has the ability, and it finds out the awareness of what's happening, then slowly, slowly, all of those small things start to build in this person, and finally it becomes to such a stage that he feels or she feels that she is everything, he is everything now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right, reminding us, remember that time when you were nothing. Forget you were nothing, you didn't have the ability of doing anything. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حَيْنٌ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. There was a time when your name was not even mentioned in people. People did not even know you. People did not know us. Until before we came into this world, people did not know our existence. Allah is reminding us of that time. And now, subhanAllah, you know, when you see those people, they're helpless. They can't do anything. It's a reminder for all of us that one day we will also be in that state. One day we will also be in that same situation. Everything that we have inside ourselves, this pride, this jealousy, this hatred, this greed for wealth and more and more and more and more, finally all of that will come to an end. All of that will come to an end. The fact that we think that we have the ability of doing everything. It's me. It's me. It's me. That word, ana. Hadith mentions about it, ana, ana. That is just a form of pride, is a deception of shaitan. One day that ana would be gone. That ana won't exist anymore. And we'll be in the same situation as where we started from, where we came from. That we will be helpless, and we'll be in a situation, subhanAllah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, that will put you back where you started from. The same situation you were before, that's where you're gonna end up being back in. That is a cycle of life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he grabbed he held the hand of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu. And he said to him, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib." That, Abdullah, remember this advice of mine. And this advice is for all of us. That, Abdullah, live in this world like a traveler. Like a traveler. Pretend that this place is like a station. It's not a permanent place. It's not a permanent place. Don't make this your permanent abode. Your permanent home. All of us are on a journey. Well, we all have to move on. Salman radiallahu anhu, when he was about to pass away, he was crying. Somebody asked him, "What makes you cry at this time?" He says, "I wasn't able to fulfill the advice or follow upon the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." What advice was that? That when he told us that make sure you don't have an attachment from this world, and when you leave this world, leave in such a way that you don't leave anything behind. When he passed away, they looked at his estate. What did he leave behind? He didn't leave more than 10 dirhams behind. That's all he had. And he was crying that he couldn't fulfill the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is our situation? So, as the ayah mentions, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبٌ. Some places it's لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ. That is just a temporary place of enjoyment. It's not a permanent place. As, you know, a famous poet says, and I'm sure we heard of this many times in Urdu, جَغَاجِ لَغَانِ كِ دُنْيَا نَهِيهَا عِبْرَتْ كِ جَاهِ تَمَاشَ نَهِيهَا. It's just a place of lessons. When we see people in that situation, we should learn a lesson from that. When we see people, and it doesn't have to be just people who are elderly. There are so many youngsters, youth, who are in such situations, critical situations. 22, 23-year-old people who have cancer. Who are in such a state that, you know, they can't move. They can't get out of bed. When we see situations like that, it should remind us, number one, that we should be very thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with health. But at the same time, it should remind us that where are we heading towards? Every day when we look at ourselves in the mirror, you know, we should think about ourselves that I'm getting older. No matter how much we try to convince ourselves that we're getting younger. You know, we can do whatever we want to try to make ourselves look younger, but we know inside we're getting older. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised us by saying that make sure if you have white hair, don't dye your white hair, don't remove and pluck your white hair, because it's reminding you of your akhirah. It's a reminder that it's time for you to leave now. No matter how much we dye it and how much we color it, we're just fooling ourselves. We're only making ourselves get fooled when we know that Akhirah is there. It's waiting. Every single day, as one scholar he says, يُمِيتُكَ مَا يُحْيِيكَ. The thing that is keeping us alive, it is also causing us to die. Our breath, every single breath that we take, is causing us to live. But every breath that we take is that one breath less of this world and is taking us towards Akhirah. Every moment of ours is taking us towards Akhirah. It is making us go towards our final abode. Ask ourselves, and this is something that, you know, we need to really contemplate and really think about. That subhanAllah, all of this life that we have lived so far, how much of that really have we enjoyed? Forget our entire life. From this Ramadan to last Ramadan, how many days can we say that we really, really had a lot of fun in our, you know, in that 1 year? We can hardly think a few days, or else every day is the same routine. We get up in the morning, we go to work, we come back, you know, we spend some time with family, we eat, and then we go to sleep, and it's the same cycle every single day. There might be a few days, a week or a two or a month here and there where we may take a vacation. But even in vacation, if we take a month vacation, we don't remember every single day of that vacation. We will only remember those few important days where we can say that we had a lot of fun. Compared to Akhirah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, he says that the difference between Akhirah and dunya is that when a person has something of dunya, once he has it, it's just an excitement for that time. As he keeps on having it, the excitement gets less and less and less. It could be a house, it could be a car, it could be a watch, it could be shoes. But in Akhirah, it's the opposite. When a person gets a blessing from Allah in Jannah, the excitement is there when he receives it, and the more he has it, the more the excitement is. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave an example of a fruit in Jannah. That in Jannah, when a person, he will take a bite from a fruit in Jannah, that one bite will be so tasty, but the next bite will be more tastier than the first one. The third one will be more tastier than the first two. What happens in dunya? We take the first bite, that's the most delicious one. After that, we get immune to it, we get used to it. And then finally, we just have to try to finish it somehow. And Akhirah is the opposite. The blessings that we receive, the more excitement we will enjoy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, he says, and inshallah I'll end with this, a reminder for all of us again, that there is a place in Jannah that is the highest place in Jannah, the highest level in Jannah, the hadith of Ibn Majah. What is so great about this level in Jannah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that this level in Jannah is so high that the roof of this level is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba asked, O Prophet of Allah, whose level in Jannah is this? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, this is my level in Jannah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not exclusively keep it for me. People can also reach this level in Jannah as well. What is that Jannah called? Maqam al-Mahmood. The dua that we make after Adhan, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Maqam al-Mahmood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Quran al-Kareem, عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ وَرَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا, that us performing salatu tahajjud, tahajjud salah in the eyes of Allah is so beloved, that we keep on performing the salah and we will get closer and closer and closer to Allah, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us Maqam al-Mahmood. Wow. One scholar, he says that the dua that is made at the time of tahajjud salah, the words of Hasan Bisri rahimahullah, the dua that a person makes at the time of tahajjud, it's like an arrow that does not miss his target. It's so precise that it's gonna hit on target. That's like that dua. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith is mentioned, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions in his tafsir, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he once made dua to Allah. Oh Allah, please tell me of a specific and a special time so I can supplicate to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to Musa, Musa, you make dua anytime and I will listen. Musa alayhi salam insisted, oh Allah, but I know, I just want that special time when I know that I can raise my hands, dua will be accepted. A prophet of Allah, a prophet who is given the title, Kalimullah, a person who spoke to Allah, he's given that title, he's asking Allah, oh Allah, grant me that time. Oh Allah, inform me of that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, Musa, it is the time of tahajjud. You make dua, dua will never be rejected. We have that opportunity of performing salatul tahajjud every single night now. As the month of Ramadan is here, salatul isha is so late. I know all of us have to go to work. I know all of us still have a schedule. And we understand that. But what I'm saying, what advice I'm giving, is after we perform our Salatul Taraweeh, and as soon as we go home, if we have a difficult time to wake up, then at least perform 2 or 4 rakats before going to bed. At least perform 2 or 4 rakats before going to bed. As I mentioned earlier, the sunnah of Salatul Tahajjud is 8 rakats. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to do that in Ramadan and also outside of Ramadan. If we can perform 8 rakats at the end part of the night, alhamdulillah, that is the best. If not, then at least try to perform 2 or 4, if not as many rakats as we can, of Salatul Tahajjud. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah. Our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be, oh Allah, don't make dunya the pinnacle of our life. That was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbar hammina. Oh Allah, don't make all of the griefs and worry, all of that of dunya. Keep it for the akhirah as well. Our concern should be more of akhirah than of dunya. Just the way how we have this concern of dunya and we worry about so many different things, in the same manner we should have that concern of akhirah. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that a person who wishes, who loves to meet Allah, look at the hadith, who loves, who desires, who is waiting to meet Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also waiting for that person. وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَائِهِ. And of that person who dislikes and who's not ready, who's not in that mood of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he feels, no, I still have time, I still have a lot of things to do before I start worrying about that. Subhanallah, if that is the case, that he's preoccupied with everything else, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not also want to meet that person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are willing to meet Allah, who are ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we're not, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of preparing ourselves to meet our Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum li sa'ail al-muslimin wal muslimat.